So would you like to be seated? And Ian's going to come with our first reading from Paul's letter to the Ephesians.
Yes, it's from Ephesians, and it's Ephesians chapter 4, verses 7 through to 16. But each of us was given grace according to the measure of Christ's gift. Therefore, it is said, when he ascended on high, he made captivity itself a captive. He gave gifts to his people. When it says he ascended, what does it mean but that he had also descended into the lowest parts of the earth? He who descended is the same one who ascended far above all the heavens, so that he might fill all things. The gifts he gave were that some would be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers, to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ, until all of us come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to maturity, to the measure of the full stature of Christ. We must no longer be children, tossed to and fro and blown about by every wind of doctrine, by people's trickery, by their craftiness in deceitful scheming. But speaking the truth in love, we must grow up in every way into him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and knitted together by every ligament with which it is equipped, as each part is working properly, promotes the body's growth into the building itself up into love. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
So shall we stand for our reading from the Gospel? It's from John chapter 20, beginning at verse 19. And Jesus has risen from the dead on Easter morning and now appears to his disciples. So hear the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to John. Glory to you, O Lord. When it was evening on that day, the first day of the week, and the doors of the house where the disciples had met were locked for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord. And Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you." And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. And if you retain the sins of any, they are retained." This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. So, Heavenly Father, will you speak to us this morning as we open up these words? Will your Spirit be here, leading us into all maturity? In Jesus' name, amen. Please have a seat. So, last week we were thinking about what is the church for? And you'll remember that we came to the conclusion that the church was there to do what Jesus told us to do, to go and make disciples, and in particular to look for those people who didn't know Jesus yet, where there's gaps. We thought about how there seems to be a gap in people who know Jesus, particularly in the next generation. There's a real challenge for us as St. John's Locks Heath about passing on the faith to the next generation. And so thinking about who we are this morning, we're thinking about, well, what are our clergy for? You know, why have we got a vicar? Why do we have ordained people? What is their role in the church? I thought a really good place to start this morning would be to find out what you think a vicar is for. And there's a really easy way to do this. We go back to 2016 when you were advertising for a new vicar. And we get the parish profile and we have a look at it. Let's have a look at what what that looks like? Well, actually, we didn't look like that in 2016, did we? In the last 3 years, we've kind of changed a bit, so we'll have to do a bit of a time warpy thing and go a bit retro. So that's what we looked like in 2016. That was our logo. Those were the sorts of colours we used. And this is what the parish profile said about what we were looking for in our vicar. Someone secure in their Christian faith, prayerful and able to encourage others to make the best use of their skills and talents in order to further the church's mission. Some of this stuff's a bit wordy, so I've kind of shortened it down for you. So a good example and a bit of a mentor, that's a good place to start. Also an excellent communicator, able to preach challenging sermons that encourage us to live the scriptures. So we're looking for a great preacher. We're looking as well for somebody who's personally engaging and confident with all generations in a range of social settings. I was thinking about, I don't know how to shorten that one down. I came up with outgoing and fun. Somebody who's an open evangelical, adhering to the tradition of scripture and the church whilst engaging in contemporary application. Yeah, that's a real have your cake and eat it, isn't it? You want somebody who's kind of sound and rooted and yet completely up to date and contemporary at the same time. We want to be somebody who can minister to the breadths of interests that come together here, yet who's able to draw us together in vision and purpose. So you want somebody who can lead us into new and exciting places, and yes, also keep us all together, and preferably by not changing too much. Somebody who can demonstrate both leadership and management skills and who knows how to establish a direction and when to delegate to others. Fair enough. You want a leader. And a delegator, okay, so we have all of those. At this point, I started to realise I should have used a smaller font, because this is still going. There's still plenty more, but let's see what the next bit is. Somebody who is able to balance the demands of working within a busy church and parish, managing the tasks, maintaining the administration. I think that bit so far, we can say we're looking for a good administrator. And also the pastoral needs of the community. So, right, we're looking for somebody to look after us, somebody to pastor us. So we'd have a pastor as well. Still going. Develop a vision for harnessing the strengths of all our leaders so that their combined efforts are greater than the sums of their parts. So we're looking for a good team builder, somebody can bring the best out of people and get them together, working together. Be creative with worship and make appropriate use of audiovisual technology to enhance impact and effectiveness. So we're looking for somebody innovative and tech savvy. I have actually run out of room on the screen now, but we've got one more still to fit in. Lead both traditional and informal services for all ages, encouraging both spiritual growth and Christian discipleship. So we're looking for somebody who's versatile and accessible, but also really, really deep and profound. That's quite a challenging job description, if you don't mind me saying. And I have to say, it makes me slightly nervous. Maybe 3 years on, you know, it's fairly obvious by now. I don't do all of those things really well. This is quite a common thing that happens when churches start trying to describe their ideal vicar when they're advertising. What they end up doing is describing, well, to be honest, there's only one person who does all of that really well. They end up describing Jesus, right? They end up saying the person we would really like as our vicar is Jesus. And I think subconsciously that is often what is going on in churches. In fact, in some churches, this is explicitly taught as a model of what vicars and clergy are for. They are there to be Jesus to the congregation. That's why they dress up in grand clothing. That's why they wear dog collars and people call them father. Because what they are saying is, you know, if you want to know what Jesus is like, look at me. And what they are offering is, I will look after you like Jesus looked after people. I will do all the things that Jesus did. I will know you intimately. I will be able to help you through your challenging times. I will care for you. I will heal you when you're feeling broken and hurt. And I'll teach you about the kingdom of God, and I'll lead you into maturity and help you to come on in the faith. And whilst doing all of those things, I will also be drawing new people in as well, people who also need those things and who can come and who can receive from Jesus as I am being Jesus to you. Can I just say, I think that model stinks. I think that that model is a truly awful and impossibly difficult and really quite dangerous model for the church to hold out for two really good reasons. The first is, if it's not blindingly obvious, I am not Jesus. You know, when I look at that list of things that we're hoping for in a vicar, there's a couple in there that I think, yeah, no, I think I am quite good at those things. And there's a few more where I think I'm okay at that. And there's a number in there where I think, do you know, I don't think I'm good at that at all. And what that means is that inevitably, because you're looking for me to be able to do all those things, you end up being really disappointed. In fact, more than disappointed. I know that sometimes people end up being quite hurt that I'm not able to do all of those things for you. In fact, I think in the last few years, a handful of people have actually left us, left the church, because I'm not able to be all of those things to you. People are really hurt and damaged by having all those expectations piled onto their clergy. And actually, I have to say, there have been times when I've been quite hurt because I've felt as if I'm not able to meet all these expectations of what you would love me to be. So it stinks because it's not realistic. And it also stinks because, to be honest, it's not doing you any good either. It's infantilizing you. It's not helping you to grow in your faith. It is actually encouraging you to depend on the clergy to do all that stuff for you, whilst you just kind of receive it helplessly. And I just don't think that that is the vision of what the church is meant to look like when we read the Gospels and when we read the New Testament. Here's a completely different image of what the church is meant to be like, taken straight from our Gospel reading. Jesus appears after the resurrection to his disciples, to the early church. This is the first gathered group of what will become the church. And he says to them, "As the Father has sent me, so I send you. Receive the Spirit." In other words, what God sent me to do is now your job to continue, with my Spirit filling you. So Jesus is saying, I'm going to be with each and every one of you. I'm going to fill you with my Spirit. And together, you are going to be this church, which is being good news to the world. God sent me to be good news to the world. And now here is my Spirit. You go and continue being good news to the world. Do you see the difference? Where in that first model, Jesus is up the front and you're all kind of looking at him and wondering what he's going to do for you. In this model, Jesus is out there amongst all of us filled with his Spirit, all of us receiving his gifts and his power. And when I look at that really daunting list, there's things on there that I know I'm really bad at, and I know some of you are really good at. I know that when we, all of us, recognize Jesus is at work in us, we become a much more powerful, much more exciting and inspiring church when we recognize the gifts of one another. So let's do away with the Jesus is in our vicar and start thinking about Jesus is in all of us. What does that look like? Now, some of you might be running on ahead and saying, well, that's all very well, Gavin, but you haven't answered the question then. What are our clergy for? If you're saying that actually we all have Jesus in us, then what is it that the clergy in particular are doing? And I think if we jump to our Ephesians reading that Ian read for us a little bit earlier on, it's on page 951, if you want to have a look at the details here. We have a picture that Paul is presenting of the church as being a body. This is one of his favourite metaphors. He says, you know, actually, we all belong together. And just like a body is made up of different bits, fingers and toes and arms and legs, so we as a church are made up of different bits and different parts of us do different things. And in a healthy body, all of those bits are working together. They're all connected up properly. They have the ligaments in place, and the body is growing into maturity. And then he lists some of the jobs that there are in the church. He says some of the people that are amongst you have got these particular gifts: apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers. You might be hearing that as, okay, so there's kind of like special people in the church who are doing the work, aren't they? There are people who are out there converting new people, the evangelists. There are people who are teaching, preaching, doing that role. There are people who are looking after one another. There are people who are prophets speaking about what God's purposes are for us. And you might be thinking, I'm pretty sure I'm not an evangelist, so I think I'm off the hook. And I don't think I really do teaching either, so I'm off the hook. I don't really think of myself as an apostle, so I'm off the hook. If you're thinking like that, then you haven't read the next verse. Because Paul says there are some who are these things, and their role is to equip the saints for the work of ministry. Who are the saints? The saints are anybody who's a Christian, who has received the Spirit of Jesus in them. That's the saints, that's the church. So those people with these unusual gifts, these special gifts, you might say, are actually there to equip everybody to do the work of ministry. Let me give you a little illustration of what I think Paul is saying. We often get the church completely the wrong way around. Mostly in churches, the font is right at the back. So when you start your journey of faith, you're baptized. And then because you're over by the door, we get this image that good Christians are making their way further into the church. So if you're a good Christian, you'll come every week on a Sunday, and then we'll know you're a good Christian. And if you're a really good Christian, then you might volunteer to help out with something. You might be one of the servers up here, or you might bring the collection plate up, and that's a really good Christian. And if you're a great Christian, then you might help out with something during the week. You might be here more than once in every 7 days, and that's making you a great Christian. If you're an amazing Christian, you might be a missionary and go somewhere far away. Or you might be ordained and be somebody who's in charge of this whole show. And if you're an absolutely brilliant, tippy-tippy top Christian, you might even make it to bishop. Can you see, it's a journey inwards. It's a journey, come into the church, and the further into the church you are, the more mature you are. And again, can I just say, I think that that's completely wrong model. If that's what we've got in our head, that to become a better Christian means to become more churchy, then we've completely misunderstood. Because what Paul is saying is that your job is to be going out. Good, mature Christians are out there in the world. They are doing what Jesus did, as the Father sent him, so he is sending us into the world. And as we were saying last week, he sends us to make disciples, to be and to speak good news, to bring other people into the good news of knowing God and receiving his forgiveness and being transformed into his power. So far from wanting to edge our way into the church to become better and better Christians, we ought to be heading out from the church to actually exercise that ministry that Jesus himself has given us. And we may come to church in order to be equipped, as Paul said. There are these people with particular gifts who come to equip us. Evangelists and prophets and teachers and pastors are the people who equip us to go out there and do the job. You see, it turns out that people like clergy and people who have roles in the church are not the stars of the show. They're the supporting cast. You're the stars of the show. The whole point of the show is to be out there showing and teaching people about Jesus. And the clergy, the people here, are running an organization that is meant to equip you and support you in that. It's meant to be a body that sends you out. It's meant to be a body that is equipping you and encouraging you so that you have everything that you need in order to grow into maturity. So what are the clergy for? They are there to encourage and support you to grow into maturity, to become better and better at hearing God's voice, at following his call, at inviting people to know him, at making disciples, just as we spoke about last week. Paul had this image of the body, and he describes it in Ephesians as sometimes needing to work together really, really well. You almost can imagine he's saying, sometimes this doesn't work all that well, but we're looking for a healthy body here. We're looking for one where all those bits are knitted together, every ligament is in place and properly equipped and is working properly, he says. Well, we want to be a church like that, don't we? We don't want to be a dysfunctional, maladjusted church that's trying to do all the wrong things and going in the wrong direction. We want to be focused on what Jesus has actually taught us to do. And that means seeing our clergy there as being people who help us to do that, rather than people who are providing things for us to look after us. We want to invite people in to know the good news of knowing Jesus Christ. That's the sort of church we want to be, isn't it? So I hope that for some of you, you might be thinking that's quite challenging, actually, because I think I prefer the view of the church where I just come and receive things and then I can go away. that's more comfortable. But actually, isn't it more exciting to think that we are all of us receiving the Spirit of Jesus? We're all of us receiving this call. We're all of us being challenged to go and make disciples wherever we are. So as I conclude, why don't you just take a moment to think about where you're going to be this week? You see, I wonder whether subliminally you were thinking, you know, I'm being a Christian when I come to church on a Sunday. No, you're not. You're being a Christian wherever you're going this week. That's where you're going to be most a Christian. That's where you're going to be doing most what God has called you to be good news to others. So have a think. Where are you going to be this week? What are you going to say? What are you going to do that invites people to know him, that proclaims good news? Heavenly Father, will you send your Holy Spirit on us? You promised that you would. You said that as the Father had sent you, so you are sending us. And when we look at that and we think that looks quite daunting, you then promise us this gift of power, receive the Holy Spirit. So Father, will you send your Holy Spirit on us this week as we go to our friends and our neighbours and our community, as we go to be and to proclaim good news to others. Will you fill us with your Spirit's power? In Jesus' name. Amen.